I'm in a sermon series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I started last week just talking about the gifting of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and how God wants to work in our lives. I wanted to do that, sort of extend that another week before I actually get into the individual gifts of the Holy Spirit. I was going through, I go through some of my own old sermons to just get information, sometimes slides or whatever. And I found this, and I felt it was a word for our church today. I gave it to probably less than 10 people in 2005. So I would have been in... Well, actually, by this time, we were probably close to being in the school. But I believe that God is doing something really, really big in the world today. And I don't know if any of you can say that your life isn't changing, that dramatic things aren't happening. It seems like I see everyone's life really stirred up, really in even a flux. And I think God is about doing things. I'm seeing people in churches, leaders, ministry people, changing churches and moving around. And I heard somebody say they believe God is doing this big chess game of moving people into the right spots. And of course, we've got the Begleys here, and there's other things happening. And I think we're on the verge of a really, really big change in our world and in our church in particular. The guy who kind of gave me a heads up on it is a guy, old guy by the name of Isaiah. And if you want to read the Bible along with me, this is Isaiah 43 is where I'm going to be today. Because Isaiah kind of gives us the dynamics of change. He was in the middle of horrible and dramatic changes for the people of Israel. They were in what was called the exile. He lived in the mid-1700s to about 1687 B.C. Now remember in B.C., when you, the later you get, the smaller the number gets till it hits zero. So he was a Judean, probably from Jerusalem, and was married to a prophetess. He had two sons. He worked directly for the king, Uzziah, as a scribe or keeper of the official chronicles. In history, it was a momentous time. Northern Israel was conquered by the Assyrians in 721 and sent into exile. The tribe to the north became known as the ten lost tribes of Israel. Now, the reason I'm telling you the background on him is, number one, I'm going to be reading a lot of what he wrote. But number two, the writer of Ecclesiastes, who was Solomon, made a statement in which he said, "Nothing's new under the sun." And I think we're in that same, under that same sun today. And nothing is new, and so we can learn from the past. Isaiah 43 is, like I said, where I'm going to be. Let's start with verse 1. And I think that the word that in the middle of flux, when things are flying around all over the place and it seems kind of crazy, the first word that the first thing we seek after is security. We want to feel safe. We know everything is that we knew is getting changed, but we want to feel secure. So security is important. And Isaiah says, "But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba for your stead, in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give him in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. He wants us to know, well, he created us. I mean, we're here. We're not an accident. No one is here. Whoops, accident. No, not at all. Even if your parents didn't intend you to be here, maybe even especially if they didn't. God has a plan. He has a purpose for you. You were made for such a time as this, this crazy time in which things are going all over. He went around and said, I think you can handle this and you can handle it. And he's picked us. And then he says, fear not, or calm down. I've got this. He says, I've redeemed you. Let me use a more modern language. He saved our butts. When we're in trouble, or even when we're just scared. He says, when you walk through the rushing waters or the fire, he doesn't say if, because he knows we will. We're going to be going through all of that stuff. So there's no if, but we will be safe in his hands. So even though it's kind of like being in the eye of a storm, everything is flying around us and we're walking in sunlight. And God will give anything for us because he loves us. He says that in his sight we are precious and honored. That's how he sees us. He loves us beyond what we can imagine. So he's brought us security. Let's keep going in Isaiah. This time, what he's going to say is, on top of all this going on, I'm going to draw new people in. He says in Isaiah 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east. Well, I was going to point to my daughter, who's not there right now, but I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my son from afar and my daughter from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I've created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, but who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together, the people assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove that they were right, so that others will hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, God is telling us, declares the Lord, and my servants whom I've chosen, so that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed. Nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver me out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake, I will send Babylon and bring down as fugitive all of the Babylonians. In the ships they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. Our God is a gathering God. He's one who's drawing people together. We're seeing people come to Christ that we've been praying for a long time and almost ready to give up. And yet that's happening. We're seeing that go. He's not only a gathering God, but he's an all-powerful God. And when he gets his hands on us and he gets a hold of us, he doesn't let go. He He says, I've got you. We can squirm and wiggle, but he wants us. He has us. And he's willing to give up anything for us. God is. He's created everyone, but he has a people he's called to him. All right, the next part of Isaiah 43, starting in verse 16, is what I want to call the change. This is when something changes. It shifts. And all of a sudden, anything that we thought we had balance with, we don't. Isaiah says, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished and snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they will proclaim my praise. He reiterates his strength, but then he goes, be careful. Don't think you know how I, the Lord, am going to work, because former things have passed away. I have a new way. And the way that we're going to know it's him, well, there's a couple of ways, but one way is when we draw close to him, as we turn our hearts to him, as we seek him, as we go after him, we find him. So there's no such thing as the good old days. Oh, I remember when I had 300-400 people at a prayer meeting, and you've heard me say that. And I do. And it was a time when there wasn't much change in opposition. It was God just showing us what he could do. But now he wants to do that again, but in a time in which there is much change and much opposition in our lives. And we need to know that. The challenges seem impossible, like deserts, but God says he's going to put streams in that desert. He's going to water those wastelands of our life. He's making something out of nothing. When we think there's nothing there that can't possibly happen, it happens. So, what we do is we proclaim his praise. God comes at the praise of his people. Now, this is why I'm preaching the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because those are the things we do to help each other through these change, through the opposition, through the hard times. And it's also the way that we share the gospel with others, is by gifts of healing, of giving prophetic words to people, words of knowledge. They're not parlor games. They're things that actually change people's lives. And they want to look and see that that happens. Now I'm going to read you a scripture because I think God is leading this change. But you've heard this scripture already before because you heard it in ministry time. Because Melissa already read it for me. So Ephesians 3 says, I kneel before the Father from whom... So I think God wants us to hear this, okay? This is the second time. From whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches, we may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. God wants to get inside. He changes people from the inside out. Forget what the outside looks like. Well, that's just a fat pastor up there. No, it's inside out. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Ooh, let's not go past that one. Let's stop. Rooted and established in love. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not to make us cool. Are not to make us look like whatever, we're better than someone else. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are to convey love. That someone, whenever, even if we screw up and do it wrong, the person feels loved that we tried. Don't forget that as we learn how to do these things. that rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. This is just not about just book learning, learning more about things. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As we start responding to the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do amongst us, and these gifts come up, and some of them are going to look funny, scary, weird. Some of them are going to look really cool, but that doesn't make any difference. It is God wanting to release his power to be able to use these gifts so that I can love you, you can love me, you can love each other in all ways. And that's what's going to draw people to this church. It's the love. When he sees the love of people coming in here, when he sees a family of Christ, a body of Christ here together in unity, he sees our love, then, and I'm going to go back one more time to good old Isaiah, this time in 54. Isaiah tells us to enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. God is going to grow us as a people. He's going to stretch us. This could be a metaphor two ways. Bigger church, but stretching our hearts, bigger hearts. Oh, I can't do all that. I can't commit all that to God. And the Lord says, yes, you can. But you can't alone. It's not going to be the gifts that are going to draw people. It's going to be the love of Christ that they see in one another. And the other thing Paul talks about in Galatians 5, it's the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We want to go after these fruits. This is the purpose, is to change this in our lives, in one another's lives, and the people out there. The people who say, I just want to be happy, I say, you want God's joy. Happy is dependent on circumstances. God's joy is there, no matter what the circumstances. When the river raises up and the fire blazes into us, we still have the joy of the Lord. Peace, my favorite. Patience, I just love just sitting around and waiting for God, don't you? It's just patiently. Is that sarcastic? Yeah, let me. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what God's calling us to. The reason I'm going to be preaching for the next 3 or 4 Sundays until Pentecost on the gifts of the Holy Spirit is because these are the things we want to see. This is the goal in our lives. Because this is what we heard through worship time. This is when God is perfect in us that we see these things. This is when God is working in our lives. So then we won't be just growing in size as a church, but we'll be growing in depth. As a church and as a people and each one of us. Moses used to lead the Israelites through the desert, but he only went as fast as the slowest person in his group. And so we're responsible for the slowest person here to help them and encourage them on. I want to end with Paul's writing to the Corinthians. We'll be into 1 Corinthians a lot in the next few weeks, but let me end with this one. It says and this is actually out of the Message, so it's going to sound a little different, but Just think, you don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God Himself is right alongside to keep you steady on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in the spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of His Son and our Master, Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. When things are flying all over the place, when our life feels completely out of control, remember that Jesus will never give up on us. He will never forget. I like this picture of Him carrying their suitcase, their load. They're broke down, it looks like, and it's Jesus carrying the load. Take that picture in your mind as you know that God is working in each and every one of our lives. Amen.